Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Eric DaCosta talking about how John Harbaugh's responsibilities have changed from Ozzie to him during the draft. And he says it's basically a smooth thing. And Harbs, to his credit, said it really hasn't changed much through the years either. One of them did also say coaches that are on the staff that haven't been here forever tell them they're surprised at how their system works when they are in the draft room with the Ravens, for what that's worth.
I mean, look, here's what we know. They live for this. The draft is their lifeblood. They love the opportunity to, like, there's no limit on how many picks you can acquire. There's obviously a limit to the number of picks in the draft. But then there's the whole craziness afterwards with the undrafted free agency, and they look at all this as a competition, and it is. And that's why part of the reason they love the comp pick so much is it gives them an inherent advantage. If they've got more of those than other people, then they can control the board more. And they really do sort of get their jollies off here as an organization. You put as much time into scouting and data and evaluation as they do, then this is on the football operations side, this is kind of their Super Bowl. Because let's be real, free agency's not.
Well, it's
so this is their Super Bowl.
It absolutely is their Super Bowl. And we've heard Eric DaCosta say that this is his favorite time of year to be a general manager. And they've always built through the draft. They've never been huge spenders throughout free agency. It's draft and develop in Baltimore, and that started in 96.
All right, let's get to the elephant in the room. Cut 14, Beltway Ben. If it'd be worth it for them to draft a kicker, especially with their success finding undrafted free agent kickers.
Is it worth it? I think it's worth it, sure. I mean, there's been some great kickers drafted, and we've drafted a couple punters. But it's worth it if you have the right kicker. It just depends on the board. It depends on the player. It depends who's there. It depends on how your coaches see them. You know, and also, it should be said that some of the greatest kickers of all time weren't drafted, right? So there's no, like, blueprint for finding a kicker, except you got to be able to evaluate the kicker. And I think Randy Brown does a phenomenal job of evaluating kickers. And we have a lot of other really good coaches who do a great job of evaluating talent along with our scouts. And so is it worth it? I think it probably is if the right guy's there. However, you don't have to draft a kicker. You don't have to draft a punter. You don't have to draft a running back or a linebacker for those guys to be great players. We've seen that over and over again.
The Ravens have never drafted a kicker in their franchise history. Do you think they're going to draft a kicker next weekend?
I have no idea.
I didn't ask you if you knew. What do you think?
I don't know enough about this kicking class to say. I'm just keeping it real.
Yeah. What's your gut say? What's your gut say, Bone?
My gut says that their current kicker, who's still under contract, has been in their building, and I bet will be in their building a week from now, less than a week from now, when they fully start their off-season program. Do we know which the first OTA open to the media is? I don't know that they've announced that schedule yet.
Well, I think I was hearing some of the guys talk that there's one coming up that's going to have a day open to the media.
They're having availability. Yeah. I want to say next week.
I thought next week.
I'm willing to be dead wrong, but I don't think he's stepping foot in that building.
I'm with you. We'll see, though. My gut feeling, though, I think they do draft a kicker. Now, if they end up not drafting a kicker, it's not the end of the world. And I think if there's one area where you have to have a ton of confidence in this organization is their ability to identify kickers. And we've gone over that. They've never drafted one, but they've still
That's sort found, of why I don't think they will.
They've still found so many that they've gone elsewhere because the Ravens, from Matt Stover to Justin Tucker, and yeah, there was a little murkiness in between, but
Billy Cundiff.
And he made
Steven
a Pro Bowl.
Steven Hauschka.
Hey, Cundiff made a Pro Bowl here before he Cundiffed.
Yes. Let's get to Bone's question, shall we? Cut number 24, Beltway Ben, if he'd like to come out of this draft with a guy with punt return ability.
It'd be nice.
I am.
Yeah, it'd be nice. I mean, I think we've done a good job sizing that up, and I think, again, Chris Horton does an awesome job. I mean, our scouts evaluate, but it's based on the area that they scout or the position maybe that they scout. Chris really does a great job of taking all the returners and ranking the returners from first to worst. And so that's a big part of it. I think we have some guys that can do it. So we've got a floor, but we want a high ceiling. That's what we want. And we're going to try to find that guy.
I want to see that list, though.
Can I throw something out? How about you don't take the worst guy?
Yeah.
Or like the second to worst guy or the third to worst guy? That would be my suggestion would be the five worst guys stay away from. Try to get one of the three to five best guys. Because it's becoming kind of a thing. It's becoming kind of a big deal.
I also personally
I like to have someone who's done it before at the NFL level.
Yeah. Remember
but if we're not gonna do that, don't get one of the five worst returners in this draft.
Stay away from
Don't
those
even
guys.
Take them in the seventh round and think you can make them good.
No.
Don't even bring him in as an undrafted.
Yeah. Take them off your board. I would say just take them up, make them up. They're undraftable.
Harbs, for us, because
we need a guy who can actually do the job.
Harbs was much happier with that question than Jordan Westbrook was with Cordell's question last segment.
Yeah,
and if you missed that, go on the Odyssey app. You can listen back. Every chapter's there. You're welcome
Bone
to listen.
Bone made Harbs
salty
day.
Westbrook.
Harbs lit up, man. Yeah. He was like, yeah.
It's one of the few times Harbs said anything all morning.
Well,
he wasn't asked many questions.
That was not a very eventful.
Harbs, why don't you draft the worst returner on your board and just make it a challenge to see how good you can make
Let's
come out and tell us. There were other guys we liked way more than this guy who was still available. But we wanted to take the worst one.
This guy can't hold up to the football.
We can fix him.
Watch what the hell he does by the second preseason game. You're going to be like, no way was that the worst rated return.
Chris Horton can fix him. Hey, let's say we talked a lot about how the Ravens need to draft an edge. Let's finish Beltway Ben with cut 11. Eric, talking about how strong the edge group this is in this draft class.
Well, I do think it's a good draft class. Now, also, if I'm not mistaken, we've got our entire outside linebacker core coming back this year. So that's a great situation for us because we didn't lose anybody. And so from that standpoint, I think it's good. Now, again, there are some really talented guys in this draft class. And, there are guys that we'll be looking at as first-round guys, second-round guys, third-round guys, fourth-round guys we think could come in and compete to really play right away or develop and become really good players. So that's exciting for us. I think that if you're looking at the offensive line, the defensive line, and the, outside linebackers as a whole, I would say that three are the strongest positions in this draft class.
Couple things. Number one, they might have everybody back, but nobody thinks it's a great edge group. Though, credit to Chuck Smith, he's been able to finish first and second in sacks the last years. Also, Odafe Oweh it's pretty clear he's not thrilled playing on the fifth-year option. And I don't think Kyle Van Noy's showing up if his contract stays the way it's currently set up. So there's that.
Yeah, they're all under contract, but for none of them for that long. And certainly some of those players seem less than thrilled with the state of their current economic future. I'm just going to say it again. Like, don't get some dude who sucks and try to fix him. Like, you need –
you think they have a worst of first or worst like list on this?
What's the worst pick we could make right here? And let's see how good –
send in the card.
It's not a reality show. I mean, the draft is kind of – it is a reality show.
Yeah.
But let's try to get two dudes who will figure prominently in our rotation and our front seven and are more likely than not better than a bunch of guys we already have here.
We come back. It's T-Bone time. TMI with TIM. What you got?
Well, it's a perfect transition because Adafe Owe, we saw a couple years ago, Eric DaCosta surprised us trading away Marquise Brown. Mark Andrews, we know the possibility there, but could Adafe Owe be dealt before the draft is over? 410-583-1057. We'll take your calls. Also, we have a poll up on IA1057 The Fan.
T-Bone time, TMI with TIM, and the floor is yours.
That old Eric DaCosta is known to have a trick or two up his sleeve, going back to the 2022 draft, where we didn't find out until draft night, but he told us today at the Liars Luncheon that the draft was done, or the trade was done Monday prior to the draft, dealing Marquise Brown to the Cardinals and a pick to get a first-round pick. Could there be another trade involving a first-round pick? Adafe Owe, it goes back to the cryptic tweets about over a month ago where, after not tweeting for over 2 years, he had the deuce emoji. And
peace
then the next
out.
Day, man, I hope not, but God's plan always wins.
That's how I live.
We have a Twitter poll up. Twitter poll of the day is sponsored by Tee Time Golf Pass. Check out exclusive Tee Time deals at your favorite courses at teetimegolfpass.com. Could you see another surprise with Owe being dealt prior to the draft? I could see it. 60%. No way. 40%. And there's layers to it in the fact that we've done the exercise of they're probably not going to pay him. And the going rate for pass rushers now are crazy. And whatever you think of Adafe Owe, he does have a double-digit sack season under his belt, and teams see value in that. He's on the fifth-year option, due $13.2 million. His way. So if you trade it, that's cash savings, cap savings, and maybe you could turn some of that into a Kyle Van Noy, sweeten the pot for him, a Rashad Bateman, sweeten the pot for him, or any of the other extensions. But it's a gamble, guys, because we know that they need edge help and they need some more long-term certainty with edge help because he's a free agent, Van Noy's a free agent, Ajabo's a free agent. But the question is, what's his value? What is his value in terms of draft pick compensation? If you're able to land a first-round edge rusher, potentially, maybe come day two, you end up trading him? Who knows?
That, to move up in the second round, you're talking about?
No, he's saying if you get like the kid from Texas A&M, Shamar Stewart, or Ezra Raku, if they fall to hit the Ravens at 27.
I don't know what his value. Could you get a third? For away?
I think so.
Here's a day two pick.
You want a
or
hot
do you
take,
use
Jason?
Them to move
to
up
move
around?
Up in the
do you
first?
Move them to move up half the second round or something like that?
You want a hot take, Jason?
I love hot takes.
If the Ravens take a safety with their first round pick, Adafe Owe stays. If they take one of those edge guys in the first round, I think Adafe Owe gets traded on that Friday.
Spicy. Look, you guys know what I think. I think you've seen he is what he is, and I don't think they're going to want to pay him what he can get elsewhere for that. So to get ahead of that, sure, I'm here for it. Now, you'd have to address that position probably in a multitude of ways, including, I would say, also bringing in another veteran like a Judon or whomever to try to buttress that room some. I'm not married to the player whatsoever. I mean, I'm in the same way I'm not married to Linderbaum because where the price point's going to go versus how he fits into the overall scheme of your most impactful players. And, you know, again, this, I don't see this owner going $85 million cash over cap, especially as the cap continues to soar. So, yeah, you've got some decisions to make. I personally, I'd like to see them take the worst pass rusher in the draft and see if they can Chuck turn him into Owe. See if they can get 10 sacks out of him.
Let's start at the bottom.
Hey, let's go. This guy, he can't do anything.
I'm not married to the player, but it's just you take him away and what does the rest of the group
Well, that's
look
why you
like.
Got to take an edge
for
to
sure.
trade him.
And I think that's sort of a learning experience for Eric DaCosta a couple years ago, and he admitted when he traded Marquise Brown, you got great value for him, but you didn't replace the player when you had Bateman and DeMarcus Robinson, Devin Duvernay in your receiving corps.
I don't think that kid Stewart is there.
Mm-hmm.
And not only do
what
I
What about
not,
the Boston College kid?
Boston College probably is, but I...
Is Aruke or... Yeah. Might have to learn how to say his name.
The Stewart kid... You can get 11-1 at DraftKings on him being the second defensive lineman taken.
Ooh.
So Abdul Carter, and then who goes next?
Yes.
Like, and I've also looked at some of him going in the top 10.
Wow.
I wouldn't shock me.
Donovan Ezeruku is the kid from Boston College. So if his name comes off the board at 27, fireworks on Friday, bum.
I still think take the worst pass rusher.
Yeah. Yes.
Give Chuck Smith a challenge.
Yeah. Hey, look what he's done.
Anybody could do it the normal way.
Yeah.
What would Mike Elias do here?
Whoa.
Do we get a real player, or do I get a 36-year-old from Japan who's never thrown a major league ball and make him my fourth highest paid player and see what that looks like?
Speaking of Mike Elias, he impromptu presser with the media today at Camden Yards. What did Mike Elias have to say? You're going to hear from him.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. MIDI can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
One night, one goal. Stop suicide. On June 21st, New York City will host the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's milestone 30th Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. Over the last 20 years, people have described the overnight as one of the most powerful experiences of their lives. Now is the perfect time to join us as people from all over the country come together to stop suicide. Walk over 16 miles from dusk till dawn to raise much-needed funds for this important cause. You'll form lasting friendships, experience healing and love, and bring hope to those affected by suicide. Be a part of this life-changing event. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. June 21st. Register now at theovernight.org or call 888-THE-OVERNIGHT. That's 888-843-6837.
Next here on The Fan. So that's Mike Elias speaking earlier today, like a couple hours ago, talking to the media, Camden Yards, talking about Zach Eflin. He did use the weeks, not months, quote that he gave to Jim Duquette and Jim
Sunday
Bowden.
Morning, yeah. I don't think this is a 15-day stint. And we heard them speak before about Grayson Rodriguez's lat, and then it became a much bigger deal, and I don't think they want to run that risk. the fact that he's just going to start throwing again, like, doesn't have me doing cartwheels. The fact, just everything about the way he's talked about this twice now, my reporter, Spidey senses are telling me this is going to, he's going to miss way more than just a couple starts. Now, is it five? Is it six? I don't know. And maybe they don't know, but if he's saying weeks, not months, I'm saying, I bet it's at least a month.
June 1st.
I'm with you. And that's a massive, massive concern because he was their only consistent pitcher and a guy that could give him length. And who knows whenever the heck Grayson Rodriguez is going to get here.
That's a great segue. Mike Elias, how about a Grayson Rodriguez injury update?
Grayson Rodriguez recuperating from the sore tricep elbow injury that he had in spring training. He's thrown two bullpens now. His most recent one had off-speed pitches with spins, as we say, and he's got another bullpen a day after tomorrow. So far, he is tolerating everything well physically, so that's good news, but we still have a lot ahead of us in terms of bullpens, build-up, live BP, ultimately rehab assignment, and I'm not ready to assign a timetable to his recovery yet. I know that he's doing everything he can to strengthen up and get back to help the team as soon as possible, but we're not at the point yet of kind of ballparking what that's going to be, but he continues to feel pretty good.
Best case scenario, that's all-star break, right?
That's sort of what I was thinking.
Yeah. Because he's got to ramp up, too. Like, the guy hardly threw.
He had no spring.
Yeah.
He didn't have like a clean outing in the spring.
No.
Like, it was either a bad bullpen or a pushback outing or an outing he didn't get through. Like, I think it could be pretty close to a lost season for Grayson Rodriguez.
Let's hear about another pitcher. Cut 41. Let's go 40. Beltway Ben. Andrew Kittredge injury update.
Andrew Kittredge coming off of the knee surgery continues to fly along with the rehab. He's throwing bullpens. We could get him into a live BP the week after next. And, you know, once you're at that stage, you start to talk about rehab assignments a few weeks after that. So all said, there is a possibility that he puts himself in a position to be activated before the end of May. But there's a lot of time left there. But so far, it's moving along at the front end of any hopeful window for the recovery from his knee surgery.
Finally, some good news.
Yeah. Let him throw one pitch at Norfolk, and if that goes okay, just bring him up.
Well, that's how they do
one
it.
One pitch.
Yeah.
Not even an inning.
Yeah.
One pitch. If it's a strike, you're coming
gotta
up.
Got to get him here.
If it's a ball, let's see what the second 50-50. Pitch looks like.
Yeah.
Flip a coin.
Yeah. Now, that sounds obviously a little more promising.
Yes.
And it goes along with what Brendan Hyde was saying about Kittredge, a week ago? Saying that he was ahead of schedule?
Well, look, and I don't want to be too callous here, but it's a business and it is what it is. They gave this guy a lot of money to fill an immediate void.
A one-year role.
Grayson Rodriguez is a 25-year-old who they still think could garner Cy Young votes at some point in his career, but my God, they better get him healthy for the first time in 4 years. That's a little different than a mercenary who you pivoted to after you didn't think Hoffman could pass your, whatever, couldn't pass your physical.
Yeah.
So you gave him that money AAY-wise. You didn't give it to him for over 3 years. You gave it to him for one. I think they want to see Kittredge get some outs for them.
Another injury update. Cut 41. How about Kyle Bradish, Mike?
Kyle Bradish, I don't have a lot to report there. He threw a bullpen the other day. Looked great. Feels great. Knock on wood, this is kind of flying along in terms of what you hope for from a Tommy John surgery. Still not a guy that, you know, with everything we'd want to do to get him back into game shape and build him up and return to skill, that we'd be thinking about any sooner than kind of the later half of the summer. But he's very much on track.
Fair.
Yeah, well, if you'd just gotten the surgery done last January when he probably needed it then, he'd probably be in your rotation right now.
He would.
Thank God for those 8 or 9 starts that no one will ever remember because they were in the first 6 weeks of the season.
Significant.
He had a couple good ones.
I do remember the one against the Phillies, the last one.
I remember the one against Tampa. He was really good.
I mean, he was pitching well, but he was clearly. And didn't they let him go over 100 pitches in one, which they don't really like to let anybody do?
Hey, once you're in a
Phillies
significant pain.
Shaking the arm.
Yeah, how about that? That was.
When you get significant pain.
He was in distress
pain
on the mound. Did anybody run out and shut that down?
No.
Not immediately.
No.
Skipper was at that one, though.
He was.
Unlike the Grayson one, Skipper was there.
Yeah.
He was on time that day and everything.
Yep.
I mean, his car was parked right where it was supposed to be, well, right, at least when it should have been, if not well before.
Let's get an outfielder.
He might have been really grinding that day.
Beltway Ben, how about cut 44?
Baseball gods, Bone. What are you going to do?
What about a Colton Cowser injury update?
What are you going to do?
Colton Cowser, I don't have much of an update. You know, he's got a broken bone on the tip of his thumb. Got to let that heal up. He's in here working hard. He's staying in game shape. He's conditioning. But there's not a whole lot you can do while your thumb's broken. So I can't predict exactly how quickly a bone's going to heal. But, you know, kind of hopeful for a late May, early June target for him, but we're gonna have to take that as it comes with how quickly he's injured, or I'm sorry, with how quickly he heals.
Bone, how quickly does a bone heal? You'd be the authority on that.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah,
I've never broken a bone. Knock on wood. I know I should not have
put the
maloika
on you.
Wow.
I've had a lot of medical issues. I've never.
that's worse than the broadcaster jinx during a game. Really.
Yeah.
Like tonight, if I was calling that game tonight, as soon as Westy got in the plate, up to the plate to start this game.
Orioles,
so the Orioles and the Royals are the only teams in Major League Baseball that don't have a home run yet off a left-handed pitcher. I would, Kevin Brown, I don't know, who am I to tell you how to do your job?
No.
But I would come out smoking with that one.
One more from Mike
Westy Elias. Westy was 75% sure they were going to hit the home run tonight.
Cut 48, Mike Elias. He's not panicking about the early losses.
I certainly haven't seen any signs of panic, and you know, we're continuing to retain the same approach on a night-to-night basis. You know, I don't try not to get too high when things are going great, and try not to you know, get down when we're losing. And you know, that's how you have to approach baseball. You know, that said, we've got to stay on top of what we do and look at how we do things and why we do things and where we do things, and try to be in a mode of looking to improve at all times.
Mm-hmm. Not too high, not
super,
too low.
Super introspective.
Even Steven is the way he keeps it, Bum.
Look, as the billionaire told us, he's got it all penciled out.
Yes.
He knows how many.
No, he didn't know the
pitchers. He knows how many games every team in the AL East will deserve to have won, even if they don't win that many. He's got the perpetual 7-year plan. He's got a crystal ball. He knows everything that every team's going to do, every acquisition. So he wades in when he has to. And no amount of real-world evidence, your team can't hit, your team can't field, your team can't pitch, none of that matters. He knows how good they should be, how good they eventually will be. So I'm not going to let any of that deviate me from my master plan.
We'll come
Orioles
back.
Baseball, the Elias way.
Come back at the text of the day. Preview tomorrow's show. Get you ready for BBT. Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken live at Pickles, followed by the Fresh Take. Beltway Ben, Cordell.
We
got
to hear Westy. Do we have time? Hopefully we have time to hear Westy.
Salty Westy coming up next here on The Fan as well. Before we get to the text of the day, earlier in the show, by the way, Cordell Woodland, who will be on coming up at 7 with Beltway Ben Hall, was in the clubhouse earlier today, and he asked Jordan Westberg about their struggles against left-handed pitching. And this is what Westberg had to say.
I see it being really early in the season still, and I see it not really meaning a whole lot right now. I think what matters tonight is how we, as a whole lineup, 9 guys, take an approach to face this lefty here tonight. And we'll see what happens, you know, when the dust settles. But
preach.
I don't think we just got to talk about the past and the present. I don't think what has happened in the past really defines who we are as a lineup.
All right.
Tonight we could come out and score a billion runs, or
yes,
we could be shut out. You know, like, that's the game of baseball, and I think that and I trust that each and every guy who's in the lineup is going to be trying their hardest to put together team at bats. And like I said, when the dust settles, we'll see what happens.
I do like Salty Westy.
Yeah.
I think we lost me a little at the end. Bone, next AI assignment. AI Salty Westy.
Oh, man.
AI Salty Westy, I think, would be good.
He lost me a little at the end.
Still,
we went a little baseball gods at the end.
You could still score a billion.
For the most part.
Or get shut out.
Well, here's the reality. Again, they're one of two teams that don't have a home run against a lefty yet this season. They're 26th in Major League Baseball in OPS against left-handed hitting. And the only thing that the GM did to even pretend to help the lineup was add some, I'm going to say, pretty mediocre baseball players who they will tell you can wear out lefties. We'll see if Sanchez and O'Neill and Laureano are up to that task. As best I can remember, they can't get dudes to second base against lefties so far this year, and I mean that literally, not as some sort of not as some sort of sexual metaphor.
Wow,
they literally can't even get dudes that. To second base.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you guys. Logan Allen gives up a lot of fly balls. Logan Allen in 20 starts last season gave up 22 home runs. Will we come in tomorrow and still be talking about the Orioles or when we'll see if the Royals hit one tonight or not. I don't know if they're going to face a lefty.
But will the Orioles hit a home run?
Will the Orioles come? Will we come into play tomorrow?
We're going to
talking about the Orioles still don't have a home run against a lefty.
I think they're going. I think Westy's going
lead off the game.
Westy lead off extra base. Yeah, I'm not going to go home run.
I think he gets one tonight though.
Extra base.
Let's get the text of the day.
Check 1-2. Check.
Text of the day is sponsored by Orsman Automotive, driven by OrsmanCars.com. Your trade is always worth more at Orsman. Shop their entire inventory now at OrsmanCars.com. You guys were talking about the offensive line a little bit earlier, and somebody mentioned Ben Cleveland. Cat in Baltimore said, why would the Ravens bring Ben Cleveland back? He's a waste of a roster spot.
I think that they find him to be decent depth, but it was an interesting signing because, like, you can get a guy like that.
Not to mention it was and he's right probably going to get suspended.
He's probably going to get suspended for a couple games. Like,
they're throwing curveballs. Maybe he'll throw a curveball day one of the draft.
Yeah,
move up 8 spots, get a legit pass rusher.
There you go. And then Oway, gone
or a D tackle.
Well, then Oway stays. Yeah. My prediction: edge guy. Oway gets traded on Friday. Bone, what do we have on tomorrow's show?
Tomorrow's show, we got Cordell Woodland joining
us.
We have Jerry Coleman joining
Aloysius.
Us.
Doctor.
And we have cut from the same cloth, Ryan Rifkin.
And we're one day closer to the draft.
That's right. And tomorrow will be another day closer.
And tomorrow we'll be talking about, can't tell, Westy and those guys, they haven't hit a home run off a lefty all year.
And hopefully talking good about Charlie Morton.
Now, if they do that, you think Westy be down with talking about the past? If they rough up a lefty tonight and somebody asks him tomorrow about facing lefties, do you think he'll like that question?
Coming up next, we go down to Pickles and Bob Haney, Ryan Rifkin, Baltimore Baseball Night, followed by the Fresh Take. That's Cordell Woodland, Beltway Ben Hall, taking you through your evening right here on The Fan.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.